And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
'97, partly cloudy, cumulonimbus, SPF 85. By the way, all previously reported temperatures are in Fahrenheit.
Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 29th. I'm J.E. Skeets along with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo!
Yo, the international man of mystery taking it to the Maxley Ellis.
Friends.
And last but not least, making the magic happen is J.D.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, leave your comments, and subscribe. Because tonight, at 9 p.m. Eastern, yeah, we already changed the start time for this. NBA Happy Hour is now game night. Yes, come join your boys on the live stream here on YouTube as we play a little GeoGuessr, maybe a little Sporkle quiz. Maybe Lee opens up an old pack of F1 racing cards. You don't know what's going to happen on game night tonight. But anyway, we'll hang out for a couple hours. Have a blast. Of course, answer your questions and comments that you're dropping in the stream team there as well. So join us tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. NBA Happy Hour is now game night, okay? Also, email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We hit the beach yesterday. We talked about new NBA awards we'd like to see added to the mix. We attempted to agree on, like, what actually makes up an NBA journeyman. Like the criteria for that was fun. Tass leading that discussion. And then Lee talked a lot about cars and construction. Real manly man there yesterday. How's your Johnson rod, man?
Yeah, man. It's great. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How's your Stanley, bro?
You can't be a hippie. You got to be way more into a, macho voice.
My bad.
You got to grunt like Tim the Toolman Taylor. Yeah, Lee was talking a lot about, driving over screws and then his screwdrivers and the law firm.
This guy's getting
IKEA.
Screwed left and right.
Tough stuff.
Tough stuff from a gay.
So
that was better, right?
Go check out that Beach Devin podcast that we posted yesterday. And finally, grab your sweet No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com. Okay, on today's show, we got Tweet of the Night. We got Pick'em Results. Though maybe we'll just skip that. You know, I think we'll just gloss over that today.
Nothing important happened.
Yeah. We're going to run back some What You Got fun. We had a blast doing that yesterday. Got some other ones for you guys today. And we'll get to the big games and the big news from a very busy Wednesday night in the association. But first, wedgie number 44. It was a prime time wedgie. Paul George. Nice wedge there underneath sort of the rim. Lodged in there against the backboard. So beautiful shot there. I love that camera work. And here we are. Go to wedgietracker.com. Up to 44 wedgies on the season. We're getting closer and closer to that magic number 50. And then we're going to try and set the all-time record on pace for 55. We're loving it. So great stuff there from a very entertaining game from the Clippers and the Suns. And that's the first game we're starting with here, Lili. The Suns, the headline is the Suns clinch their first postseason berth in 11 years. And they did it in style. And once again, Chris Paul taking over late. But what's the big takeaway for you in terms of that game and them making the postseason for the first time in a long time?
Well, yeah, repeat, rinse and repeat there with Chris Paul. Get the game close. Just give the ball to Chris Paul and he'll finish it off, which is incredible stuff once again. But look, the turnaround in Phoenix, I think, has gone way better than even they could have hoped for. When they traded for Chris Paul in the offseason, it was we desperately want to make the playoffs. And I think they probably would have settled for somewhere like fifth or sixth, you know, to be honest, I think. But now they're at the point where they potentially have home court advantage advantage for as long as they're in the playoffs, because they're only a game back of the Utah Jazz. They play them tonight, but they already hold the tiebreaker against the Utah Jazz, having beaten them twice this season. Now, who knows exactly what happens? Maybe guys rest tonight. I'm not sure. But Phoenix, to be in this position where, you know, they could have the best record in the league is incredible. Now, Chris Paul obviously deserves a ton of credit for that. And I think when you saw an OKC, guys like Gilgeous Alexander, Dennis Schroeder, they elevated their games. And you're seeing it as well with outside of the guys of the stars like Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton, Michael Bridges or Mikal Bridges, Cameron Payne, those guys are sort of elevating their game. That's not all Chris Paul, but I certainly think he has influenced those guys by trusting them. He throws them the ball and he needs them to knock down shots, and they do. And then Cameron Payne, you just see him out there. He just feels confident in his game. And I think, again, the way that Chris Paul plays, these guys just see how he plays and they try to sort of play the best they can. The Suns, offensively, they're great. Seventh. Defense, they're fifth, even better. So, you know, things have been legit with this team. It's not like they're just sort of riding one particular wave. You know, they're balanced well. They're well coached. They're deep. And they've got that superstar who is really closing out games for them, which is great. Now, it becomes a tricky part because obviously they're going to make the playoffs. And Skeetsy, you know better than anybody, after a long playoff drought, the Raptors made the playoffs, remember, for their first 2 years, home court advantage, probably went into both series favorite, and they lost in that first round. So that's right. going to be the real big challenge here for the Phoenix Suns. I know the Suns fans don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They're like, hey, stop hating on the Suns. The big difference is the Raptors didn't have a Chris Paul in that situation. Lowry, I think Lowry had made the playoffs once, but obviously hadn't gone all that far, and he wasn't at Chris Paul's level. But, you know, that's where the Suns do have a big advantage. They're going to have a guy who's going to be 36. He's a veteran. You know, he's played over 100 playoff games. And look, not all of those have been great, let's be fair. But it certainly feels like he's the sort of guy who is going to be able to at least steer them in the right direction. So I think this is great. And I'm excited for Phoenix. You know, it's been so long, and they're back. They're in the playoffs, and now it's just going to be, okay, can they translate what's happened in the regular season into playoff success? And what is a successful season? You know, do they have to make the conference finals? I don't think so, but I certainly think they have to go further than the first round at a minimum to really make something out of the season. But it's been an incredible turnaround, way better than I think anyone realistically predicted.
Yeah, Suns have not been there since 2010 when Nash is throwing oops to Amari Stoudemire. Trey, it's a long time. 10-season drought there, tied for fifth longest.
Those guys are literally coaching together at this point.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
And so here they are. But Chris Paul, 28-10 last night. Clippers, they didn't know what to do with them. Again, in the fourth quarter, he hit five of his eight shots, scored 15. You know, when it got tight, when the Clippers pulled within one, it was Chris Paul once again, like, making consecutive tough baskets there to close it out. He is the closer here. And you said it, Lee. I mean, they're one game back of the Utah Jazz. Let's say the Suns get the number one seed, the best record in the NBA. Huh. Chris Paul comes there in the first season, gets the best record. Well, look at a few former MVPs for Phoenix Suns that have done that before. Barkley in his first year with the Suns, right? Mm-hmm. One MVP, leading the league's best record there in Phoenix. Same with Steve Nash, his first one, you know, returning to the Suns in his case, winning MVP and leading them to the best record. A lot of us think Jokic is going to win MVP, and we're going to get to him and what he did last night. But, Trey, if the Suns do have the number one record, does Chris Paul have any chance over the final 10? Or even, I guess the question, does he have any chance to get, like, top three, top two with what he's doing here recently? And again, the caveat, the Phoenix Suns having the number one record in the league.
Well, Skeets, now that you mentioned the historical MVPs that the Suns have, I think that Chris Paul's going to win it, because Charles Barkley shouldn't have won the MVP in 1993 and Steve Nash shouldn't have won it in 2005. So maybe they'll give it to Chris Paul, because this belongs to Nikola Jokic, but this guy's going to get some votes, no doubt about it. And I think you're right that top three is certainly in the mix at this point, as, you know, Chris Paul is has certainly put the team on his back for the fourth quarters, and the way he is, he's showing out and doing it every single night. And if they get the number one seed, those are some good arguments, especially considering when you're looking at who's going to come in third right now. Anyways, you're probably saying Jokic, then Embiid, and then third is maybe a toss-up. Steph Curry, I would think, was kind of leading that for a while, but the Warriors obviously are scrapping to stay in the play-in tournament. Giannis obviously has a case for number three as well, but it feels like we're just going to kind of ignore that right now. Meanwhile, the Bucks are kind of, you know, playing 500 basketball, just waiting for the playoffs, which is really where Giannis needs to show up. So yeah, I can certainly see people talking themselves into Chris Paul at least being a top three MVP candidate, because it's impossible to deny the impact he has. Just look at like Frank Kaminsky. Yeah. He has played like 35 minutes in the past month, scored 13 points in 13 minutes in the first half last night. They're just like, hey, we need you to shoot your threes and do your Frank Kaminsky stuff. He's like, all right, I got you. Chris Paul getting the MVP chance. No surprise. He should be there, but I don't know. Less and less, I'm thinking it's a crazy idea to give Chris Paul some MVP votes.
Well, what you're saying there, Trey, is I saw Kazim had a tweet last night that said, Chris Paul got to blame Steve Nash for not getting real MVP consideration because folks are hell-bent on never letting that happen again. And there it is. Any truth to that, Lee? Like, does Nash winning, you know, his MVPs, like, does it help or hurt a guy's chances like Chris Paul, where the stats are not blowing you away, but of course it's like what he's done, the impact on that winning culture, the intangibles, whatever you want to call it, you know, it is similar to Steve Nash in that sense. What do you think about like that tweet and that idea?
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve Nash went back to Phoenix largely because Mark Cuban didn't think his back was going to hold up, and so he didn't want to re-sign him. And so the Suns said, we'll take him. And then he rejuvenated that Suns team. And I don't remember if they finished with the best record or not in the Western Conference. They were certainly up there. But they seemed to, when he came back, all of a sudden, you know, he was exactly what they needed for Amari Stoudemire and for and Sean Marion and Raja Bell. You know, Raja Bell was that sort of guy who was like, all of a sudden, he's just shooting threes. And it's like, this guy's great playing alongside Steve Nash. So, but I think with Chris Paul, it's more the fact that the Suns were like, you know, they had a good bubble, of course, and it was like, okay, he's there and he improved the Thunder. What's he going to do with the Suns? Are they going to be about somewhere in the middle? But instead, he's got them, you know, to a point where it's like, wow, this is so much better than what anyone was really predicting with them. Mm-hmm. So the numbers, yeah, they 16 and 8, I think he's only putting up on the season, but he's having a much greater significant impact on that team and their record than those numbers show, because he's doing it late. I don't have the clutch stats here. I meant to check those this morning. I forgot to. But
well, Phoenix is money in the clutch. There's something like 20 and 11.
And last year,
close games.
OKC were as well. You know, so it's no coincidence that that where he goes, his team improves. But yeah, it's timing as well, isn't it? You know, because he's playing so well right now that is, you know, the freshest. Recency bias certainly plays a factor. You know, Jokic and the Nuggets are doing well, certainly since Jamal Murray went down. But it's almost like we've been talking about him so much that maybe he has dropped a little bit in the...
We've been talking about him in the MVP conversations for so long that we need to get him out of the MVP conversation. No, the guy made a huge clutch play last night.
I know.
The clutchest play.
But if he had faltered here when Jamal Murray went out and the Nuggets lost a bunch of games, then this gets really interesting, but that didn't happen. So yeah, that's why, you know, look, we're gonna make our award picks on tomorrow's Drop podcast, by the way. We're doing that tomorrow. We'll do our top five ballot, all of that. But he did it. Like, he didn't fall off at all is the problem.
I know
here.
But I'm saying,
but I just think that Chris Paul is definitely, of course, at the MVP table at this point. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. In the more recent games, in the recent history, we've seen him step up and hit those shots late, win those games for his teams, and that just elevates him in the conversation. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. No, Chris Paul, believe it or not, has finished top seven in MVP votes like 8 times, like a lot, you know, which surprised me a little bit in looking into that. But he'll do that again, I would imagine, at least top 7. And like we're saying, maybe top 5, maybe top 3. Who knows where he falls? He just, like, when you add Chris Paul to your team at this point, you know what's going to happen. You're going to be pretty damn good in the clutch, like you said, Lee, because he's got a pretty good track history of that. He's going to steady the pace, which is where the Suns are. You know, like, they play somewhat slow. They rank in the bottom third because that's, again, Chris Paul just has his fingers over everything that you're running out there. And then you're going to protect the ball because he's incredible at that. So they're a really good team passing the ball, fourth in assists. They don't turn it over a ton. You know, awesome, you know, sort of assist to turnover ratio there with them. And again, that clutch factor. That's what you're getting from a Chris Paul-led team right now at the point guard. And this is wild that they might have the best record in the league, or at least chasing the Jazz. So fun stuff there. Really fun game. Now, Clippers, I hope these teams meet somehow in the playoffs because they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, there's some animosity there between especially like Booker, CP3, and then sort of Paul George. And there's no Kawhi for the Clippers. So I don't think everybody's freaking out over that loss. Though I will say I don't like the Clippers' chances maybe now of going up in the standings anymore. Like, that was a big win for Phoenix in that sense, Lee, where they might be holding on to at the very least the second seed. Like we said, maybe get to first, but, you know, they're a nice little buffer there a little bit now.
Yeah, two games and what, about 8 to 10 to go, I think, sort of depending on exactly what their schedules are. But, yeah, that would have been one of those ones that they would have moved to, what, 44? Yeah, it would have been still one or two losses behind the Suns, but ahead of them on victory, so... yeah, it's pretty important there for the Phoenix Suns to hang on at home against a team they could likely face. But there's enough time, I think, for the Clippers here just to still overhaul them if they really get on a bit of a hot streak and the Suns do drop a game or two. But very, very close.
All right, let's get to Jokic, the leading MVP front runner, at least. He blocks, did he? Zion's late shot. Nuggets hold off the Pelicans 114-112. Zion asked about it after the game, like that critical, like, non-call there. Gotta earn my respect, he said. So, you know, he took it on the chin. But what did you think of that no call there, Lee? You thought it was a foul or no? That Jokic takes a big swipe at Zion there as about 2 seconds left. Ingram, nice little shovel pass to him. I thought it was really nice. But what did you think about that play?
This was as bang-bang a play as I think you can possibly get, because he does sort of swipe at him, which I think that gives the referees a chance to sort of say, you know what, like, that's a foul, because he sort of winds up and hits him there. I went back frame by frame over both replays to see just to see exactly like what happened first. And I think he gets enough ball first. And as far as I understand the rule, the hand is part of the ball. If your hand is covering that part of the ball, then it's not a foul. And I think he gets enough of that. There's a little bit of collateral afterwards with the sort of hand coming down and the head a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm kind of like, I think that's actually fine. I think it's fine, that call. He gets enough of it there for me to be like, the refs made the right call on that play. So, you know, the Pelicans obviously upset, not happy. I was hoping Zilla would have a little write-up on it this morning because he's usually pretty accurate. He didn't really say anything. He just said, it was like one line. I was like, come on, Zilla, give me some more of that. But... overall, I think it's, yeah, you could make the case there's a foul, but I think it's about a 52% non-foul, 48% probably a foul. I lean Jokic and the Nuggets' favor, and for the refs to not, you know, they decided they weren't going to, well, he still would have had to make free throws, of course, but...
Well, that's what's funny about it. I feel like Jokic was almost trying to foul him in a weird way.
Yeah,
like, just
put him
like
at the line.
Like, at least, like, we're not giving up the dunk or the layup here. I think he even said that after the game. He's like, well, I'm just going to, like... at least take a hard swipe at this. And yeah, maybe I hit ball, which he definitely does make contact. And at the very least, I prevent him from tying the game up and make him earn it at the line. So it's a close one there. But what'd you think, Trey?
Clean, super clean, to be completely honest. Yeah, I mean, Zion, maybe in 5 seasons, he gets that call, I would say, you know, when he's one of the faces of the league even more so. But Nikola Jokic is your MVP right now, so he's getting the calls. And I thought maybe he touches Zion's hair a little bit at the top, but he doesn't even get a lot of hand, I don't really think, on this block. He gets the ball pretty cleanly when you see it from behind. It just looks like a massive swipe because it is a massive swipe, but I did love Jokic's reaction afterwards. Just walking back to the bench, like, no big deal. Just like he hit a game winner. All right, game winning block. See you later. But some great quotes from this afterwards. Stan Van Gundy said, "I do think that strength gets punished in this league a lot more than quickness. If you're able to go through contact a little bit, it's called differently. If you fall down every time you're hit or you flop, you get calls. That's just the way it is. It's not just Zion. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same." Now, obviously, Stan Van Gundy was Dwight Howard's coach.
Yep.
Dwight Howard went to the line a whole bunch of times. He got fouled a lot. But big guys do get refereed differently, I do think. And to be quite honest, Zion did go down to the ground on that foul call, right? Or on that shot attempt right there. But... do you guys agree that a strong guy gets officiated differently?
Yeah, I 100% think so. But also, Zion, isn't he like, is he like second in the league in free throw attempts or something? Like that? He's
very high
being a second-year player, which is damn impressive. And deservedly so. I mean, he's at the rim all the time. There's going to be a lot of contact. Yeah, I think Stan Van's got a point. I think it's just much more difficult if you're an official to call that the big guys down there, Lily, you agree, like Shaq?
Yeah, it was for sure. I mean, you could see Shaq, he would go down there, and because he was so big and strong, players were able to do things that they weren't allowed to do against other guys. And so that was a sort of a punishment against, I think you see it with LeBron too at times, you know, it's like, just because he's so tough, it's like, well, he can take more body contact than other guys. But that's just, again, how you interpret the rule. And refereeing is so very difficult because, let's say, for example, last night they called that foul and then they defended after the game, which they could have done. The refs, sure. It's like, sure, they call that sometimes, you know, and they didn't. And it's funny because I thought, you know, Zion saying as well, he's got to earn his respect, which is pretty mature thing of him to say and to realize that that's how it goes in the league. And I thought maybe he could have tried to sell it a little bit more, but he sort of did. I mean, he goes down, he hits the ground. So, you know, there's some physicality on the play, but... Yeah, it's overall, I think it's just, it was the right call. But, you know, you can see why Pelicans think, well, that's automatically a foul because, there was the sort of the arm connection there. But he gets it clean enough at the start and great defensive play from Nikola Jokic.
I mean, the Nuggets almost blew this game, right? They were up 9 with like 45 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And it was nearly a tie game, if Jokic doesn't recover there in time and take a swipe at it. It's crazy.
Even on that last play, right? That's the only reason the Pelicans have it, because Jokic with like an uncharacteristic turnover in the last 10 seconds of the game. But great call, Lee. I actually forgot that Stan Van Gundy coached Shaquille O'Neal as well at one point. This guy's coached a lot of some solid bigs. The other thing I love from Stan Van Gundy, somebody asked him if he was going to teach Zion how to flop. He says, I cannot imagine going to a player and telling him to start flopping. I can't imagine that's what you have to do. I could never bring myself to do that with a player, but what are you going to do? Can you learn how to flop?
Well, I mean, a guy like Zion, I don't know if that's possible. But yeah, other guys I think can. Especially the smaller you are, I think the easier it is to sell that contact. Like, get out of here too, JG. I want to put this up here. Ingram should have taken that up. Maybe get a foul call. He didn't want that moment. What the f*** are you talking about? Like, he just gave it to a guy... who's shooting like, what, 70% from the floor this year? Like, in a beautiful pass, the defense collapsed a little bit. It's a nice play by Jokic to, again, take a swipe at it. I think he was like, well, screw this. If I foul him, I foul him. At least it's not a layup. That's a nice play there from Ingram. Come on. You had me maybe up until the he didn't want that moment. Should have, could have, would have. Okay. I don't think Ingram was shying from the moment there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is actually the right play from Ingram, because you can see he might have been like, maybe I want this moment, but instead he found his teammate who was rising up and it nearly paid off.
Look, again, you know, he could have taken a floater. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe would have hit it. Sure. But he was shoveling it to a teammate who shoots like goddamn like the highest percentage we've ever seen in a second year player. Like,
that was a smart play.
How is that a bad play? It's a great play.
I don't know, Skeets. I would have liked to see a Denzel Valentine from Brandon right there. Just pull up from 35 feet. Why not? Let it rip.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Our final sort of like games here, I'll lump them together because it's the hottest thing in sports right now. It's the race for the 10th seed. You know, nobody's talking about it and covering it like we are at No Dunks. So last night, a few teams in the mix, of course, Julius Randle and the Knicks beat your Bulls, Trey, 113-94 for their 10th win in 11 games. Bulls are trying to get into the play-in tournament. And then meanwhile, the Wizards trying to hold on to that 10th seed while Beal and Westbrook balling out again. They led their team, the Wizards, past the LeBron-less Lakers, 116-107. TK, How you feeling about your Bulls' chances here with a Wizards win and a Bulls loss there? What do you think?
I hate to say it. The Knicks are more back than the Bulls.
Yeah, yep.
And the race is over.
Ooh, wow.
Wow. Calling it.
Yeah. I don't know. The Wizards are playing too well right now.
I can't believe
I'm saying that. The Wizards are playing too well right now. They've got the leading scorer in the NBA and the leading assist man in the NBA. This is ridiculous stuff. I did think it was interesting, though, that ESPN flexed this Bulls-Knicks game for Lakers-Wizards, and then the NBA called in some refs to fix the game for the Knicks, thinking that nobody would see it. But I was watching, and I saw those dastardly Knicks hitting Daniel Tice in the face time and time again, something that Celtics fans literally warned me about. They're saying Daniel Tice is going to get hit in the face all the time, and he will never get foul calls. That's exactly what happened. I'm kidding. The Knicks bullied the Bulls completely in the fourth quarter. They really went to another gear defensively. The Bulls couldn't get it done with no Zach LaVine. Randall had 8 in the fourth. Quickly had 11 in the fourth. They were incredible. And guess what? I'm legitimately happy for all my Knicks fans, friends, Jason Concepcion, Seth Rosenthal, Jack Settleman, and of course, Lee Ellis. Watching that game last night, man, it felt good in my heart. I can't deny it to you guys. Wow. Seeing the Knicks have a starter out there that nobody wants starting, I loved it. Elfrid Payton, you're the new Keith Bogans. Why are you starting all these games? Because Tom Thibodeau's there. I love that part too. Three huge parts of the 2011 Bulls in Thibs, Rose, and obviously Taj Gibson. And of course, I love seeing Julius Randle in the game taking threes with the Knicks up 20 and a minute and a half left. I was like the Rudy guy. Slow clap. I remember this. This is my kind of shit right here. I'm going to have to take some lessons in how to become a Knicks fan because that was nice last night. I can't deny it. The Knicks are back and the Bulls are blowing it. I saw a stat. They haven't been over 500 in the past four seasons.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've never actually been back at all. You've been lying this whole time.
When you put it that way.
It was
in a macro sense, they're back, Skeets. On a micro sense, still not bad.
Yeah, it was very similar, actually, that Bulls loss to the Knicks. Oddly, to the Raptors losing to the Nets the night before there, where it was like a close game for three quarters. They're in it, and then like the Knicks did to the Bulls, the Nets did to the Raptors, just put the clamps on them and just ran away in the fourth quarter, and it was like a bit of a dominant win there, and those two teams not looking good, Lele. Your Bradley Beal is going to be in the play-in tournament for you, man. You must be happy.
Yeah, I am. It is amazing watching the Wizards right now because they are kind of fun to watch. You know, they just get out and run. And that was going up against a Lakers team. Obviously, no LeBron, but Davis played a heavy minutes. And this was an important game for them. And they stood up to the challenge. And last night was one of those nights where there's so many games on, you just don't even know what sort of game to tune into. Because the Knicks-Bulls was legitimately like, I want to watch this. I think this one's going to be fun. And Emmanuel Quickley, he's quickly becoming, well, no pun intended there, but one of my favorite guys to watch because he just gets out there and flings it. Yep. He doesn't care where he is on the court. And he's got the hype going as well. So I think he's going to, quickly become a fan favorite there of the Knicks because he just goes out there and believes in himself. You know, for a rookie, he's not afraid of the moment. He's not afraid of where he is on the court. If he's open, he's shooting it and it's going in. So that was great. But yeah, the Wizards, this is a big turnaround as well because they were just so gross to watch earlier this season. And it was like Beal putting up just those. Remember, he went on that run where he was just putting up 40 every night and they were losing. It was like, what's the point? And now they're, you know, playing at the right time. And they're going to be tough in that first playing round. You know, whoever they play, they're going to feel pretty confident against because, you know, you just have to play hard and they do that right now. And they've got the two stars that are tough to defend. So I don't know where it's going to go for the Wizards, how this season's going to end. But certainly Westbrook, again, another triple-double. Being in that sort of like, everyone's written us off, no one believes in us. Westbrook kind of loves that situation.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
You know, I don't know who they will face. I mean, it does change
around.
Well,
they're likely going to play the Pacers if that stays, a 9-10 game. So I think most people would take Washington the way they're playing right now.
Pacers are struggling.
Yeah, exactly. So then the Wizards move on to then likely play the loser of like a Heat-Hornets game. It could be still the Celtics in that game. Let's call it Heat-Hornets. You know, let's say the Hornets lose that game. So, yeah. Wizards Hornets to see who gets the 8 seed. Yeah. Again, I think most people would probably be backing Washington right now. You're right, Lee. Like, they might be one of the favorite teams to get from the play-in tournament actually into the playoffs. I think it's fair. So
for sure. And then if we got Westbrook versus Harden and Durant in that first round, I mean...
Right. I said that a couple days ago. I was like, sign me up for that. I mean, that'd be at least a juicy storyline to a 1-8 matchup. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least. So, all right. Not looking good for the Bulls. Not looking good for my zombie raps as they continue to sort of lose ground here on the Wizards. We almost got to hope at this point, Trey, that the Pacers just like keep losing from here on out. Maybe that's more likely, right?
That's the most likely scenario at this point, but we might be seeing some crazy lineups on that May 13th game between the Raptors and Bulls if both of them are locked in out of the play-in tournament. Like... what are we going to be watching here, Skeets? Literally, it's going to be Ryan Archie Diacono versus Malachi Flynn, just a one-on-one game.
Ooh, oh, I love spicy stuff. Yes. All right, let's get to a little What You Got, brought to you by The Zebra.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got?
Yeah, a little What You Got again here, brought to you by The Zebra. Sticking with, like, some of the games and storylines from last night. First one, guys. The Utah Jazz made 24 threes, bounced back from consecutive losses, set a franchise scoring record. 154 to 105 over the Kings, my goodness. And then we had Jaylen Brown scoring 38, Tatum adding 35. Celtics rebounded from an embarrassing loss a night earlier with the 120-111 victory over the Hornets. So, Lee... the What You Got question is, you know, what was the better bounce back win? Was it the Jazz or the Celtics?
Yeah, it's the Celtics for me because they had a real embarrassing loss at home the night before against the Thunder, the team that just couldn't, hasn't been able to beat anybody for months, it seems. Right. So the Celtics had to sort of go out there last night against a good opponent. I'm sure the Hornets are shorthanded at the moment. No Hayward, no LaMelo Ball. But they got beaten by the Hornets just last week by 20 points. So this was kind of like a, all right, we've got to go out there and show this team's better. Tatum came back, but then the Celtics actually lost Marcus Smart just before the game. He got suspended for apparently threatening a referee or abusing a referee. So they sort of were shorthanded a little bit there. But they came out in that first quarter, built a big lead, a 20-point lead. Hornets made it a game, though. The Hornets got back into this one late in the fourth, but the Celtics closed it out. And yeah, you want to see your two All-Stars basically just say, we're not losing this game. And that's what they did. Brown and Tatum were fantastic. And then the role players chipped in. So I think it's that one. I mean, the Jazz, you know, I don't think you can take a revenge game against the Kings, you know, especially when they're shorthanded. You know, the Jazz, I thought, like, their losses to the Wolves were actually like, you know, the Wolves played hard and played well. So, you know, putting up 150 on the Kings is like, that's not fair. You got to beat at least a reasonable opponent. So, yeah, Celtics for me.
Okay, so the Beantown boys, the better bounce back win. Trey, you agree?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it honestly just comes down to the Kings having really bad timing with the Jazz having lost those two games against the Timberwolves and still having something to play for, trying to keep that number one seed. So, yeah, I mean, shooting 64%, 154 points in regulation. Like, I don't know, the Kings scored a lot of points. I mean, you know, in today's game, 105 isn't a ton, but you're still over 100 and you still almost lost by 50. That's quite the bounce back. That's a big bounce back right there. So, yeah, I mean, the Celtics obviously had a better win. They're obviously playing for something as well, but man, 154 points. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is a ton. Matt Thomas, former Raptor player, 7 for 7 in that game. 17 points in 9 minutes he got it up. He hit three threes, but everybody was scoring for Utah. But I'm with you. I think, you know, especially like Jaylen Brown had sort of like called out his team after that embarrassing loss to the Thunder. And my God, Lee, he backed that up.
Yeah.
Like he came out and he outscored the Hornets in the first quarter. Didn't he have like 20 or 21 points? After the first 12 minutes, and they had he single-handedly had a lead over Charlotte, so that was a good win. And you're right with that late sort of Marcus Smart scratch there for what he did. Good win, good bounce back win. All right, our next one. I'm gonna show you a little footage here on the old Stream Team. Bam, getting the best of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle last night, dunking all over his head, and then we had Rui Hachimura dunking on Anthony Davis on the fast break, popping him there in the face. So both big, big dunks. Question is, which one was the bigger dunk, Bam or Rui? Trey, what you got?
A lot of things to factor into this, Skeets, including the titles on the highlights. These come to you from MLG highlights, a solid highlights channel. Bam detonated on Jakob Poeltl with like dynamite dunk versus Rui Hachimura murders Anthony Davis with monster dunk. That's a tough call right there. You're going with the dynamite dunk detonation or the monster dunk murder? You mentioned it there, Skeets. Rui gets some points because he dunked on Anthony Davis. Poeltl's no slouch at the rim, but AD, an all-time great caliber of defender, still returning from injury, so maybe not at his peak prowess, but nonetheless, you're taking AD as a defender over Poeltl. I do think there's a little more ferocity for Rui Hachimura, but I'm ultimately going to go with Bam here because, as you said, Skeets, Rui basically punches AD in the face as he's going up for this dunk, right, which makes it look awesome, especially the pictures of it, like Anthony Davis just flailing back. He's grabbing his nose afterwards, but not quite as clean of a dunk for Rui. Bam is just straight up body to body with Poeltl up at the top, and then, of course, he simply detonates him with a dynamite dunk. So give me Bam, a dynamite dunk from a guy named Bam. It's perfect.
Okay, Lee, what you got, Bam or Rui?
Well, I think Bam's was probably a bigger dunk, but Rui gets Anthony Davis. I think that's one you want for your highlight reel, especially because Davis is kind of, you know, hurt after the play. He's like that. So it's like you got him and there was no foul call.
Yeah, but it's like the fast break variety poster. Yeah, but it's Anthony Davis. I mean, it's not as crazy to me. I think Bam runs away with this one.
Nah, I think you've got to discount just the fact, like, Poeltl isn't a bad defender, but it's just like, who would you rather have on your on your list, you'd say, man, I smashed one over Anthony Davis. People go, oh wow, Anthony Davis. Someone's a Jakob Poeltl.
Look at that, though. Yeah,
it's big.
That
slow-mo
is huge.
It's big. But I would just rather have Anthony Davis on my, if you're like a hunter and you've got the heads up on the wall, you know, as a dunker, you've got the Anthony Davis trophy up there. So,
okay. You know. Which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle would you most like to dunk on, Lee? If you had
most like
one
to dunk on. Hmm.
Yeah, and they get their weapon.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Raphael had those, what are those?
Little size.
Michelangelo had the nunchucks.
Yeah.
Leonardo Donatello had the big sword, didn't he? And then Donatello had
the staff.
I would say probably Leonardo because, you know, I mean, that's a blade that he's got there. So, you know.
It's true.
You know, I mean, because I think Donatello could just, like, sort of body you off with that. But
cross-check, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in hockey, that's right, yeah. So if a guy's got an actual kind of machete and you're dunking over him, I think that'd take some balls, yeah.
All right, Trey, same question, though. You can also include Bebop, Rocksteady, Casey Jones, April O'Neil, and Krang, and
Casey, what's his name? Casey Jones?
Yeah. Ooh, Casey Jones might be the hardest to dunk on since he is wearing football pads and carrying a hockey stick at all times. That's going to be tough. He's got a lot of reach and a lot of strength. I think it would be most fun to dunk on Raphael because he would be so pissed if you dunked on him. He would get up, probably stab you with a sigh, and then he's ejected, and now you got a ball against April O'Neil. Easy.
Anthony Davis could have used the Casey Jones mask there. Checked his nose.
Yeah.
Too bad he wasn't rocking that. All right, that's a fun question for everybody in the stream team. Which Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle character would you most like to dunk on? You're only getting that stuff here from No Dunks. I'm telling you, you're not seeing that anywhere else today.
I love it, Skeets. It's a perfect poll, too. Four options. We'll see you later on the internet.
Right. All right, well, our final one here. CJ McCollum had 26 points. Norman Powell added 24. Help the Blazers solidify their hold on the seventh place in the West. 130-109 victory over the Grizzlies there last night. The win moves Portland two games ahead of Memphis. So they're still matched up in the play-in tournament, 7-8. But Portland's two games up on Memphis and San Antonio there. And now just a half game back from the Dallas Mavericks, who are still in the sixth seed. So I guess the question is here, who's going to avoid that play-in tourney? Who would you be putting money on to stay out of that seventh seed and keep the sixth seed? Is it the Mavericks or the Blazers? Trey, what you got?
I'm being a big time floppity flipper on this one because I was going Dallas as of last Thursday. Then Thursday night, Kristaps Porzingis rolls his ankle. So on Friday, I went with Portland. Mm-hmm. But now the Mavs have gone 2-1 without Kristaps Porzingis. He's questionable for tonight's game. We'll see if he plays, but either way, it's not going to be long. So now I'm back on the Mavs. But it really comes back to the MVP ballot talk that we had yesterday. On the whole of the season, Dame and Luka, I think, are having very similar years, similar stats. Their team's records are the same. Both teams have had a lot of players miss a lot of games. Yeah. Their initials are even opposites, LD and DL. Crazy stuff.
Geez.
But it feels like Luka is peaking right now, whereas Dame looks like he's been carrying the Blazers for the entire season, and he just came back from a hamstring injury. Just looks like he's still rounding into form, whereas Luka, it feels like he's going to hit a game winner every single night, even though that's clearly not the case with what's happening. But it feels like the Mavs did a good job to survive with Porzingis out for a little bit of time here. Got a couple of wins. He's going to be coming back soon, which bodes well for the Mavericks as well. So I think it's Dallas, but you know what? I reserve the right to change my mind. New information, new decisions.
I mean, it's close right now. I believe they have the same amount of wins, Lili, and the Mavs are maybe just a game short right now. You know, like they have one less loss.
Yes.
So who are you going? This is a tough question, but yeah. who's more likely to avoid it and just stay in the sixth seed, Dallas or Portland?
Yeah, well, the Blazers have the tiebreaker, which could be key that matchup. But
key
looking...
Like a safe in a hotel room.
Looking at the schedule, though, it clearly favors the Mavericks for me because they have a much easier schedule. They've got the Pistons, the Kings, the Cavs twice. They've got the Raptors, and then they finish with the...
How dare you?
They finish with the Minnesota Timberwolves, whereas the Blazers have still got, like, Brooklyn, Boston, the Lakers, the Spurs, the Jazz, the Suns, and the Nuggets to close out.
Holy crap.
Now, we know as well, like, sometimes those last two or three games, there's literally no one playing for teams. It just sort of depends on where they are in the standings and if they just want to get their guys a bit extra rest. But just looking at that, I would say the Mavs have a more winnable schedule. So I think they get in, and I think that they avoid the play-in, which I believe was the question. Yes, I think the Mavs avoid it.
Okay. Look, I'm already getting sort of chills in trying to figure out who I'm going to be taking in like playoff matchups. And like, because we like, of course, like everybody, we're going to do like playoff previews and ultimately predictions and like, oh, Team X in four games, Team X in five games. It's like, I don't know. You start looking at some of these matchups already, and a big part of it, like, let's be honest, is because the Lakers are so far down, and then they're going to be adding LeBron, and you're like, you almost feel bad for the Nuggets. It's like, so many of these matchups currently, as is, and this is without even knowing some of the play-in tournament winners getting in there for as a 7th and 8th seed, it's like, I don't know. I think there's going to be so many where you're like, I guess that'll probably go 7, and I have no clue. I'll flip a coin on whether, you know, just for example, like a Suns-Mavericks matchup or a Suns-Blazers matchup, for crying out loud, I think is very still tight. So I can't wait for it. We're getting awful close. What are we, 2 weeks away from basically...
Not long.
...the play-in tournament and then the playoffs starting soon after that. Oh, very exciting stuff. Whoa, what was that sound? Anybody hear that one?
Yeah.
Sounds like it's crazy.
Truck drove by.
Lee, you all right?
Well, there's a truck that drove by, but it wasn't, I don't know, it didn't seem super weird or loud to me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Noticed it there. I don't know what
Full
it was.
Years, right.
Let's hear from all of you guys out there. All your answers to those What You Got questions, leave them in the stream team, leave them in the YouTube comments, or tweet them in at NoDunksInc.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Pretty simple. Tweet of the Night for today comes to us from Tim Reynolds of the AP down in Miami. It's simply a picture of what may be the greatest misspelled jersey in NBA history. Dwayne Dedman wearing the Miami Vice two-tone jersey and it's spelled D-E-D-M-A-N, straight up dead man. This is awesome. Usually, a misspelled jersey is just something that looks hilarious when you see it, like Andre Drummond with three M's, right, or Eric Beldso.
Yeah.
This is dead man. This is awesome. Like you're saying, Skeets, this is straight up the Undertaker. Yep. These jerseys didn't get great reviews compared to the Miami Vice jerseys of the past couple of seasons, but this is a must-have one. If you could actually get the Dwayne Dedman Deadman jersey, that would be major stuff, because eventually he switched into a standard D-E-D-M-O-N, I think, for the second half. A straight-up Dwayne Dedman jersey, but a Deadman jersey? Fire.
Yeah, Lee, what do you think of that? You like that better than his actual spelling of his name?
Yeah, I know. Why wouldn't he just say, just keep it like that from now on? I mean, why not? It suits those jerseys, and, you know, he's a sort of big, intimidating guy as well. So, you know, sure. I think it fits his persona as well.
Yeah. Does he have any sort of WrestleMania streak going that we need to know about? I guess that one's done, right, for the actual Undertaker. I guess Brock defeated that or snapped that, right?
Yeah, I think he was 21-0 at the time that Brock Lesnar beat him.
Right.
Which is pretty crazy, because Dwayne Dedman wears number 21, Skeets.
Whoa!
The Undertaker literally needs to get his hands on this jersey, I think, because, like you're saying, Lee, Dwayne Dedman is big. He's 7 feet 245 is what he's listed at. The Undertaker's huge as well. He could wear this jersey.
Yeah.
Dwayne Dedman needs to hook up the Undertaker is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Undertaker played hoops too, didn't he? Like back in probably his high school days, because he was a big dude.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. Him and Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash was like recruited in the same class as Magic Johnson or something like that. Like Magic Johnson was the number one recruit in the nation and Kevin Nash was number two. Seriously, wow. Something crazy like that. Hey, in the 70s, if you were over 7 feet tall,
yeah,
you're going to be good at basketball.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, let's see if we can get that jersey, that error jersey, into the hands of the actual Undertaker. Yeah, why not? That'd be a cool-ass jersey for him to rock, actually.
Totally.
He could pull it off, get back on his chopper, turn back into the American Badass. I love it. Okay, good tweet of the night there. A great catch. You know, it could have been in the running for Worst of the Week, actually. Sometimes we do that. But tomorrow on the Drop Podcast, we're getting rid of Worst of the Week because we're going long on the awards. I already teased this a couple of times. We're making all of our picks for the six major awards: MVP, Most Improved, Sixth Man, Rookie, Defensive Player of the Year, and everybody's favorite award, the Coach of the Year. That's right. So we'll make our picks for all those. Like I said, we'll even flush out the MVP pick. You know, who is at the table? Who's in the final conversation?
Final call for the table tomorrow.
That's right. That's exactly right. This will be it. So we'll start doing that. But that stuff usually takes a while. So, you know, we're just going to, like, get rid of a couple of the other things that we sometimes have in the Drop Podcast. Also, JD's, like, still trying to, like, basically flip a house over there. We're going to start a little earlier tomorrow, too, if you want to join us live at 9 a.m. Eastern on YouTube for the Drop Podcast. So, yeah, NBA Award Talk, heavy stuff there tomorrow. Next week, by the way, got a couple guests lined up to join us here on the show, so that'll be fun. All right, pick 'em results. Brought to you by BetMGM. Ugh, you know, I swerved. I took the Hornets. I had to. Everybody else had Boston to win by 8 or more. The line was 7.5, Celtics favored. And, man, I thought I was just going to maybe pull it out. Because there was a couple plays at the end. There was a dumb foul on Tatum. Like, they tried to trap, and they did the whole thing. Anyway, Celtics just covered, and I'm done. I have now lost two consecutive months. I'm 8-12. Tass finishes 12-8. Trey and Lee, 11-9. So good on you guys. I got too far behind. You just can't get behind in the pick-em, because then you start panicking and you do start swerving when you probably shouldn't. But that's what happened with me. And I've been garbage the last 2 months. So I owe two payoffs. There's some talk going around of just saving it till the postseason to help us with content in the summer and really do something worthwhile. You know, I'm not going to sit here and eat an Arby's sandwich, okay? I'm not doing that. Though I already did just chug a beer once as a pick-up payoff. also lame. We can do better. So we will, don't you worry. Won't be forgetting about these losses and me having to pay it off. But if you have suggestions, let us know. Write us in. Email them in. NoDunksAthletic.com. Tweet them in at NoDunksInc. What I should do for any of these payoffs. Or do I just, at this point, guys, do I just take two sort of small payoffs and merge them into one like mega payoff.
One giant payoff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility too. If we come up with something brutal, I think that might be fair. But again, let's hear your suggestions. Yep. We won't make any picks for tonight. Month's basically over. We will do a short month for May. Well, we'll have like 2 weeks of action, I guess. We don't do this in the playoffs in terms of the pick 'em, but we'll do it for the rest of the regular seasons. And maybe we'll just make that one because it's so short, like, I don't know, some donation or something like that. Losers got to pony up some dough to a good cause. So we'll come up with something like that. So don't you worry. We'll start it back up at the start of May there. All right. Sort of a quicker show. It's all good. Everybody all right with that? Guys good? Want to get out of here?
I don't know. You want to just tap dance for 13 minutes?
Nah.
Get it to an hour?
Not really. We're going to have a bit of a shorter one here. Again, JD's very, very busy.
Anyway, hey, well, we've got a little bit of time. I saw interaction with Chris Hayes there too yesterday because after the tweet that I had saying about him and Dr. Fauci talking a bit of trash to each other. So if anyone's got a contact for Chris Hayes and he wants to come on the show and talk his basketball talk, let him know. Let him know. Let us know. We'll try to get him.
He basically went back on Twitter saying, like, he's got, you know, do you know how small Phelps is? And he's got like 60 pounds on him. Like, he's like,
too small.
He's going to kick the ass.
Takes Fauci into the post, banks in a banker, runs back down, doing the little stand thing. Too small, Fauci.
Well, I actually have a rapid fire question off of that tomorrow, Lily, so don't you worry.
Okay.
I think it'd be fun that if we could make that game actually happen, I'll tease it right now for you guys. You're hearing this question for the first time right here, this second. If they could play a game for charity, right? Hayes versus Fauci. Okay, that's the main event. But let's say you guys were the undercard. Which random celebrity would you like to challenge to a game of one-on-one to sort of get us in the mood for that heavyweight one-on-one battle between Hayes and Fauci? So start thinking it over. Everybody start dropping your suggestions for these guys. So I'll be asking Lily, Trey, and Tess that on tomorrow's Drop Podcast. Again, 9 a.m. Eastern start. So it'll get up in your podcast feed a little bit earlier than normal as well as we do our NBA award picks and some rapid-fire fun and all that. Please like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beat Stuff and Podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in at No Dunks Inc., INC. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. And join us tonight. Yes, Thursday, April 29th, for those keeping track, for our first ever, really, NBA Happy Hour Game Night. There's no games on TNT tonight because there's some weird thing called the NFL Draft happening. So we're gonna try something new here, maybe a little geo-guesser. Some Sporkle quizzes, some popping some packs. Who knows what else?
Oh, Skeets, funny you mentioned popping packs. I just came up with a new name for this that we could call what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
Game night, everybody does it. What about game time?
I like it. Yeah, well, I don't mind that at all. And when things get tight, it's crunch time. We're getting close at the end of the Sporkle quiz. Time's running out. All right, so join us tonight. That's 9 p.m. Eastern live on YouTube. Guys, just subscribe to us on YouTube so you know when we're going live. You get that little notification button. You're told when we're going live. That'll be fun. We'll see you then. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Willie Nelson once smoked weed on the roof of the White House with the president's son. That's a true story. Happy birthday, Willie Nelson.
Happy birthday to my father-in-law, Haig, as well. Brace the day, people.
You could stay, every day. And I'd be happy every minute.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.